Since the 1800s, Hickok & Boardman Insurance Group has been providing quality service and peace of mind to our clients. With our offices in Burlington, Stowe, and St. Albans, and our Dennis Ricker & Brown offices in Montpelier and Lynnonville, we are here when you need us.
It's time for Radio Vermont's News and Public Affairs program, Open Mic with Hester Fuller. Phone lines to speak with Hester are open at 802-244-1777 and toll-free 1-877-291-8255. And here's your host, Hester Fuller.
Thanks, Tom. Glad to see you back on the other side of the glass.
Good morning.
Missed you the last couple of weeks.
Yes, on assignment and here, there, and everywhere.
Busy boy.
Yes.
Well, we are back this morning on a Monday morning, as we often are, as we always are. Open mic featuring you, our listeners, whom we love to hear from. And we especially like to hear from you the first half hour this morning. A little bit later today, we've got a couple of other guests coming in. We have Dana Robinson from the Summit School in Montpelier. He'll be here to talk about Trad Camp, which is kind of an immersion, a folk music immersion experience for kids 8 to 15 or 16 or 17. And that gets underway next week. And we're going to hear all about that and why traditional music and these kinds of experiences are something that they pursue down there. In our second hour, we're looking forward to hearing from Penny Lynch from the Community College of Vermont. They've got some new initiatives in the way of workforce education underway there. And we're going to hear about that. Big weekend this weekend. I have a friend here who dropped by because there was a wonderful event up where I am that he very much wanted to attend and wasn't able to come. And I'm really sorry that you weren't there. You missed a great evening in Craftsbury.
Oh, I feel worse than you do.
You do?
Yeah, because it's all of those awful Rowells, my relatives.
All your relatives.
And Fran Rowell, as I understand, put together just an incredible program. And Mad Mary, who is just a genius violinist, was absolutely what she always is.
I'd say they were at the top of their game, all of them. It was
Craftsbury
tremendous.
Chamber Players and the WDEV
Radio Rangers. Yep, and they performed together.
And they performed, and the Radio Rangers played Vivaldi.
Yes, they did.
I can't believe
it. Was
oh,
wonderful.
Gosh, I wanted to go, but I worked till about 6:30 yesterday on this thing for NBC, and I had to finally say to Elizabeth, my wife, yeah, and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I can't make it any further. So we went out and got some supper, and I missed it.
Really missed a great evening, I'll tell you.
Yeah, and I apologize to you and to everybody who worked so hard on that Craftsbury Chamber Players, because they are a treasure in this.
They are, and they are celebrating their 50th year in performance this year. Can you believe it? 1966 was the first.
They are the first season. So very special.
And we're really, really blessed that they're there.
Yeah.
Right there in Craftsbury, where they've always been, performing this year, as always, in Hardwick at the Townhouse, and a new venue up in the Burlington area. They're going to be at the Ellie Long Music Center at St. Mike's for the Burlington concerts.
That's a beautiful facility.
Yeah, that's
where
what I hear.
Vermont Symphony Orchestra. Is harbored, yeah.
Now, I'm looking frantically for the phone number, but I can't seem to put my finger on it right away. But I would encourage folks to go on up to their website, CraftsburyChamberPlayers.org, if you're interested in attending any of the concerts this season. 50th anniversary season is going to be huge. But you know what? It was also the 30th anniversary season for the Radio Rangers last night, I realized. Or actually, Annie Rowell pointed that out to
really?
Me. Yeah. 1986, well, right? Wasn't that when we...
Imagine. She did the Orange Blossom Special, which fits in real
that
good.
Was tremendous. That was a chance for everyone
and
to show
then,
off their chops.
What did she use for classical work?
Well, let's see. There were quite a few items. There was the Vivaldi piece that I mentioned to you that the Rangers chipped in on. They all got together and played classical gas. Fran told a little story. It was great. It was really great. And my understanding is there were a couple of younger players up there who had never even heard of classical gas before. So it was an education for them all.
Yeah.
It grew out of actually a little conversation. You know, a lot of us like to have Sunday lunch up at Morris's, and Fran was there one
That's
day.
That's in Morris Rowell.
Morris Rowell, yeah, yep, the patriarch of that whole clan. And apparently...
Well, with his brother Marvin.
Yes,
Marvin's
there.
Marvin
I wouldn't
the,
dream of it.
Yeah, no,
nope,
you started
dream of it.
To.
Oh, yeah. I did, but you know, you're here to set me straight?
Well, because he's on the farm.
There you go.
Marvin.
That's
yeah.
true. And, well, anyway, what I wanted to tell you is that lunch at Marvin's one Sunday afternoon, which, by the way, if you ever have a chance, don't miss it. Tremendous pie and wonderful company. But Fran was sitting next to Larry Beaudry, you know Larry, because he plays with the Rangers, and they got to talking about their respective influences, and one thing they both had in common was that song Classical Gas. Was it Mason Williams?
I guess Mason Williams.
Had the hit. Yeah. So they decided, Larry told us all last night, he started practicing back in February because it's got so many notes and you have to get them all in order. You know, it's tough. But they were great. It was just wonderful.
And you moved in, because I like that they always do their first concert, the Crasper, and it is these gifted musicians.
Unbelievably
from
good.
Juilliard and, well, from New York City. And they come up here for a month,
mm-hmm.
and their first concert is free, mm-hmm. and it's always on that beautiful common.
And it's always a real mix. I mean, for the last several years, Kenji Bunch has been up. He's, of course, a violist with the chamber players, yeah. and an extraordinary composer. You know who I want to get him hooked up with? You know Patrick Ross, the fiddler?
No.
The two of them together yeah. would just blow the sky open.
Okay.
It would be tremendous to get them together.
Well, but you moved indoors and you
yeah.
went into the new Craftsbury Gymnasium.
To the Craftsbury Gymnasium with the community-produced floor.
Which is all built by the floor and most yeah. of the carpentry.
Harry Miller headed up that crew.
Yeah. Who?
Harry Miller. I don't know what we do without him.
And a fellow that wins a lot of features at Thunder Road worked in
mm-hmm.
here and helps. And I'm
speaking
I'm
of
tired,
Mr.
and it's Monday morning, and I'm forgetting names.
Mr.
Of
Moody,
I like, huh?
You thinking of Mr. Moody?
You all Moody, but
lots of them.
There's another couple that are, you know.
Well, we send a lot of folks down there every Thursday night.
And that gymnasium is mm-hmm. just outstanding, and the fact that you had to move in because of the weather,
mm-hmm.
and that they performed in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's almost as good as Craftsbury Common and that free concert.
Well, it's pretty neat, and set it up a little different too. We set it up in a back corner there. The acoustics were a lot better.
Really?
Yeah, it was interesting. It was interesting.
Nice.
Of course, I was sitting right up front.
Of course, yeah.
Rocking and rolling
Show
with
off.
Everybody. Yeah. Well, no,
yeah,
no,
you are.
Sitting in the crowd.
Yeah. But anyway, what good news for the Craftsbury Chamber Players who've gone through an era and move on to another
mm-hmm.
in their history. And you say it's their 50th anniversary.
It sure is.
And their contribution to Vermont is just as stout and strong as anybody that cares about Vermont. They
mm-hmm.
come up here and play that series of programs, which has been at the University of Vermont and at the
Townhouse in Hardwick.
Town Hall,
yeah.
Which is... Which
and of course,
is
this year they're
wonderful
shifting.
Facility.
It is. It's
yeah.
a beautiful place.
Perfect stuff to have in Vermont in yeah. the summertime. If anybody gets a chance to hear the Craftsbury Chamber Players,
that's right. Get up there. Get up to their website and take a look at the.
Mostly from New York City, but they come every year and they work so hard on their music, and so do the Radio Rangers.
Absolutely,
yeah. Yeah.
Tremendous for
bands. Well, good on you.
It was great.
Your support of it and
well, thank you for your support as well.
Well,
they're not the only anniversary cropping up in this neighborhood, as I understand it. The Chamber Players have their anniversary. The Rangers
yeah.
are having theirs.
And Radio Rangers, yeah.
Anybody else?
Well, yeah. Next Saturday.
Next Saturday,
Music
yeah.
Go at the Dump by.
Mm-hmm.
85th anniversary of WDEV.
My goodness.
Huh?
That's going to be good. You got a special show planned?
Well, it's beginning to cohesive into a special program. No question about
be
it.
Be nice to have Clarissa, the Brian's pet clarinet. Be nice to have that. Her back.
Don't tell me what to do.
I forgot that's your job. I'm sorry.
No, but it is. It's a special time mm-hmm. around here. Imagine.
Yeah, I know.
85 years.
Tremendous.
Yeah.
I don't know where we'd be without this place, too.
Enough patting ourselves on the back.
Yeah.
And congratulations to the Craftsbury Chamber Players
Absolutely.
And the WDEV Radio Rangers. For
and a good time was had by
keeping the music alive.
That's
yeah.
a fact.
Go to it.
Mr. Kenley Dean, thank you very much for being here. We have a couple of callers on the line. Let's hear what's on their minds. Hi, Bill from Barry. You've been very patient.
Well, I'm glad. Wait a minute.
Okay.
I'm glad Ken is there because I think what I have to say, I'd like him to hear it.
Okay, well, he's just stepping out. He has an appointment downstairs. But
oh,
that's
too bad because...
No, I'm sure he'll listen.
We've had conversations before. Anyway, I don't know how to start it, but I will. It's about... elections and stuff, and anyway, I don't mind. In fact, it's everybody's business if they leave Vermont and go to New York and make a fortune, come back, and I don't care how they spend that fortune, but when they spend that fortune, to say what I'm thinking is untrue statements about somebody else, especially when that somebody else is a businessman and uses his
hang on, Bill.
Money to, what's
Bill,
that?
You're losing me a little. Can
I'm
you
talk, can I,
bring it to make it concrete.
Okay, Bruce Lissman.
Okay,
has been putting ads in the he sent us some ads in the mail. Mm-hmm. And now every time I turn on Channel 3, I see his nasty ads about Phil Scott. And maybe he is by the book saying true statements, but he is misleading everybody tremendously when all he does is throw mud at Phil Scott and show Phil Scott makes faces that don't look like Phil Scott. And it is the most disgusting ad I have ever seen in my 60 years as a voter. If I was going to vote for Bruce Lissman, I wouldn't. And even if he wins the nomination, I just can't. I think it's nastier than the national election, which is as nasty as I've ever seen before. And I haven't heard anybody on the radio or anything say anything about this, and I can't understand why, because it's terrible.
Well, you know what?
Have you heard that ad?
Hey, Bill, this is Ken. You stopped me in the doorway.
You got it. You ever heard any ad or ever seen any ad like the ad that Bruce Lissman has sent? I got two mailings from him.
Well, my problem is that, because I feel like I've had something to do with Phil Scott growing up, his famous line when I asked him, I said, when was the first time your mother ever, the biggest feature event winner of all time at Thunder Road is the Lieutenant Governor. And I asked him, I said, when did your mother first bring you to Thunder Road? And he said, according to my mother, she was 5 months along. And so he's been part of the family. But I thought you were going somewhere else completely, because I know you appreciate music so much. And Bruce Lissman's aunt in Burlington was an incredible concert violinist.
No kidding.
Yes, and the Lissman family over the years put so much effort into support of the Vermont Symphony. And I thought that's where you were going, and then you went right around and came up with those ads about, and I won't say, because I know who I'm going to vote for, and I guess I know who you're going to vote for. But we talked about violinist and Mary Rowell, who is as good as there is. You know, all the, and she does that commercial work for Sheryl Crow, mm-hmm. and she's got albums and
she
all
had
that.
Eric Clapton Tango. Rearranged a song for her so she could play with them on Central Park.
Yep, and all of that. So you threw me a curveball, Bill, but you've done that to me before.
I've done that before. Have you seen that ad on Channel 2?
Yeah, I have. Here's my comment. No comment.
There you go.
Well, I have plenty, and I'm very disappointed.
I guess you do, but you know what, Bill? I need you to save them for next week, because we're going to need you back again. And I actually have Fred from Newbury hanging on the line, and I really need to let him have a turn. So will you call us back next week?
Yes.
Okay, good. Thank you, Bill.
Bye, Bill.
Hi, Fred from Newbury. You're on the air. What's up?
Back to presidential politics. I think that this year, the people that don't vote are going to determine who wins the presidency.
That's a really good comment. I agree with you. Tell us more about what you're thinking along those lines.
Well, I mean, I've talked to some of my friends, and they're fed up with it. They don't like either of them, right? And so what do they say they're going to do? They're not going to vote.
Well, then
if they don't like either of them, they're not going to vote. And so a lot of my friends are Republican, and I have some Democratic friends, and of course they're Democrat. And if the Democrats don't vote and the Republicans don't vote, then basically that's a vote for the opposite guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
You say?
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
That's a vote for the opposite guy. So that big voting block, the normal voters aren't voting, and so that's going to determine the election.
Well, you know, you may have something to that. I think both sides are going to be scrambling now to find out, to get people out and get them to vote, because I think you're absolutely right. They can have a tremendous impact on the outcome simply by not showing up.
And then one last thing, and that is Hillary completely out of the hot water as far as her...
Well, it's hard to say, isn't it?
Well, the FBI is going to look into the Clinton Foundation. And yeah. If they find that there's kickbacks and payoffs and all kinds of stuff going there, and she wins, I mean, this could be a constitutional crisis. She's president-elect.
Well, we're just going to have to see. We're just going to have to see what happens, I think. I think that there's some digging that could be done on both sides to similar effect, and we'll just have to see how it goes. We're going to have to cut away for a couple minutes, and when we come back, I'm looking forward to having Dana Robinson in to talk to us about the Summit School for Traditional Music and Arts right after these words. Good morning and welcome back. It's a Monday morning here at WDEV News Radio. Open mic. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm your host until 11 o'clock every Monday morning. And it's my great pleasure now to welcome to the studio the executive director of the Summit School, Dana Robinson. Hi, Dana.
Good morning, Hester.
You must be having a busy week this week. You've got some big stuff happening.
We're getting ready for Trad Camp next week.
Let's talk about Trad Camp.
Yeah.
What's the deal with Trad Camp?
Well, Trad Camp is an opportunity for kids anywhere from the ages of 8 up to, say, 15, 16 years old to learn guitar, banjo, mandolin, fiddle. There's a lot of fiddle players, young fiddle players there. But to learn all these acoustic and folk instruments in the tradition, kind of anything from old-time Southern Appalachian styles to Cape Breton and a little Scottish perhaps, some clogging and dance and singing and banjo. It's just a great way for kids to get immersed in music for the week.
That, now, so it runs the Monday through Friday next week.
It begins a week from today.
Okay. So what's the deal? If a kid is part of Trad Camp?
Yeah. Well, it begins at 9 o'clock. We have a staff of 7 teachers.
Mm-hmm. Get to them in just a minute.
Yeah. So basically, kids are able to choose we run 4 different, a total of, I guess it would be something along the lines of 15 classes throughout the day.
Mm-hmm.
But kids can choose between 4 classes at a time, 2 sessions in the morning and 2 sessions in the afternoon. There's lunch breaks, there's play, it's an opportunity for kids to just sample and learn and just be exposed to great music all week.
That sounds tremendous. And the faculty you've got lined up looks pretty fabulous.
Sure. Oh,
tell,
yeah.
Tell us about your...
We're really excited. We're really excited about Oliver Scanlon. He's sort of Vermont's hot young fiddle player. And he actually grew up in attending Trad Camp for many years.
No kidding.
And Oliver is known for being one of the members of the trio with Pete Sutherland, Pete's Posse.
Mm-hmm.
And so Oliver is a great hot fiddle player and mandolin player, and he'll be one of our teachers. A lot of folks know John Gailmore.
Mm-hmm. Friend of the station.
He's friend of the station, one of Vermont's treasures as far as songwriters go. He'll be teaching songwriting.
Mm-hmm.
And another great, Tom McKenzie.
Mm-hmm.
Known for his playing, well, not only solo, but also with the Woods Tea Company and with Patty Casey and such. But he'll be teaching banjo and he'll be teaching ukulele. And then Beth Telford, one of the great fiddle teachers in the region, she'll be teaching fiddle, Cape Breton fiddle in particular. Mark Greenberg, a lot of folks know Mark Greenberg and his work. He'll be teaching guitar and jug band. And,
jug band, really?
Jug band, yeah. All these old instruments.
Let's hear about it.
Washtub bass, the actual jugs and guitar. The rub board,
mm-hmm.
You know, like
washboard.
That's right. And he'll be teaching old songs and just getting kids into playing in a band together, which kids love to do.
They sure do.
We have Ira Friedman, who's multi-talented. He plays the piano, but in this particular opportunity, he'll be teaching West African drumming.
Wow.
Yeah, so, you know, bring your djembe and your hand drums, and he'll be getting the kids drumming. And then a newcomer to Vermont, and I've known Leela Grace for many years. She's a Missouri native, but she's lived in Portland, Oregon for the past few years. She's a great singer, banjo player, and dancer. She'll be teaching Appalachian clogging and a harmony singing by ear.
Oh, wow.
So if you can imagine the kids actually singing harmony with each other by ear. It's a great lineup of teachers, and it's really exciting seeing kids being turned on to this music.
Well, it's tremendous, too, to be immersed in it. Maybe it's the first exposure, but a chance to play and experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And what you carry away is something you share not just with your peer group, but with the whole long line, fore and aft, of of players? And
yeah, what we have in this camp, we find are a lot of repeat kids that have been studying fiddle or any of these instruments for a number of years. So you have a great combination of both experienced and older kids wanting to further their skills, but also, you know, maybe they take three fiddle classes during the day and they want to explore into something else that they've never done before. So you have a lot of beginners too. So it's a really easy environment for all sorts of kids to just explore.
Tremendous.
Different instruments.
Now, yeah. I would imagine you're pretty close to booked up if it starts next week. Any room left?
There's a little bit of room left. We do. We have a few spots open still. If you want to go ahead and see for yourself what we have online, just go to summit-school.org. You can Google Summit School Montpelier if you like, but summit-school.org. Or you could even Google Trad Camp Montpelier. There's various ways of getting there, but there's all sorts of information. There's links to the different teachers' websites, so you can see either, you know, YouTube videos of our teachers playing, or just more information about them. And you can see the layout of you know, what to expect from Trad Camp. So it's basically a day camp. You drop the kids off at 9, and you can pick them up at 3, and and at Friday, sort of the finale of the week, at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, there'll be the student showcase. I know teachers and parents, family, and just about anybody can come. So
that's tremendous, and that's going to be at Summit School on Barry Street.
Yes, it's housed in the building, what's known as the Center for Arts and Learning, right off downtown, right off Main Street. So really accessible.
Sounds like it's going to be a tremendous, tremendous amount of fun. Now, Trad Camp is just one of the things that happens out of the Summit School for Traditional Music and Culture.
Yes.
Anything for kids my age?
yeah, lots.
So let's hear.
Well, there's you know, at any age who wants to take lessons in all of these instruments. We have our spring session, which typically happens starting in February, running through, you know, either we could do one session or two sessions, but basically multi-week sessions, 6 or 8 week sessions of singing, fiddle playing. Jeremiah McLean teaches accordion. Yeah. And all sorts of classes also at the Center of Arts and Learning. But there's the spring session, and then there's the fall session. So right now, we are organizing teachers to see who the lineup is going to be for our fall session.
Tremendous.
Yeah. And then there's the Spice on Snow Festival. You've heard of that.
Yes, I have, but I've never been.
Okay. So basically, one dark, chilly weekend sometime in the middle of winter, this next year, it will be the last weekend of January. Basically, this festival takes over downtown Montpelier, and everybody comes, and you can go into any restaurant, cafe, and hear people playing music, jam sessions, but also there are performances, national known Cajun, Creole French, Cajun, Acadian music, and old-time Southern mountain music, workshops in these and performances in these, dances in the evenings. So there literally is performances from 11 o'clock in the morning till 1 o'clock at night.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great festival.
I'm marking my calendar for the last week in January. Why is this so important to do? Why is the mission of the Summit School something that we really need to
Preserve? Well, okay, so it's kind of twofold. I mean, first off, it's a way for anybody to get involved in playing music themselves. It's all inclusive. It's not for the expert necessarily. It's for those who just want to pick up an instrument and play. And then number two, you know, for the decline in funding for education in the schools, Summit considers it its mission to give kids an opportunity to learn how to play an instrument. You know, different schools have different programs, but it's not uniform. And so you might find a school that has got a really good program and then another school without anything. And so, you know, we feel really that it's essential for kids to have the opportunity to play instruments in schools. Right now, Summit School is providing classes in Union Elementary, right in Montpelier, and we have a class in Rumney School in Middlesex. And we're looking to expand as soon as, you know, we have the ability to do that. But, you know, we're just a small nonprofit, so we're doing the best we can. You know, if you feel like this is important and you want to contribute, we have, you know, our website has a way to help contribute either with instruments or, you know, with financial contributions. But we one thing I'm really excited about this summer is I'm putting together an instrument petting zoo.
An instrument petting
yes.
zoo. Let's hear this
yes.
idea.
Well, it's basically we're getting together a sort of a tent and like an exhibit at the farmer's
sure.
market.
Yeah.
And we'll have about a dozen instruments available for anybody to come up and play.
And just play.
And play.
Oh, what
yeah.
fun.
Just to hold in their hands, hear the strings, and see what kind of sounds it
that
makes.
That sounds great. Are you going to take it on the road to the fairs and field days around Vermont? That would be really fun.
Eventually, yeah. our first coming out of the petting zoo is going to be at the Peacham Area Music Festival in late August, known as PAMFest.
Tremendous.
Yeah, so come out and see us there.
Oh, that sounds like a lot of fun. A lot of innovative, unusual ideas. So this administration thing, you're kind of taken to it, okay. This is a new gig for you, is it not?
Yeah, it's a new learning curve.
We should point out, Dana's had a long career as a performer and a songwriter, and now that you've stepped into this administrative
yes.
role.
Here, yes. So. Well, I get to do a bit of both. You know, my work at Summit School is about half-time.
Mm-hmm.
And that leaves Sue and I, my wife, and I, who play together, the opportunity to travel and do concerts when we have tours. We're going over to England, Wales, and Scotland in September and doing our annual tour there. And we do actually, we have quite a few summertime concerts in the region coming up.
We'll keep our eyes peeled.
Yeah.
Sounds really great. And Trad Camp sounds like it's going to be wonderful. Makes me wish I was 12 again.
Boy, you don't have to be 12. You can be.
I could be 17, but that's not going to happen either.
You can come see us in the fall.
I think that's like a great idea. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Dana, thanks so much for dropping by. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Esther. It's a pleasure.
And good luck next week. I hope it goes well.
Thanks.
All righty. We will be back with more Open Mic right after these words. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you until 11 o'clock this morning, at which time Bill Sayre will be in. Talking today with Rob Roper about Vermont's tax burden and how the state ranks among the 50 states. How will that ranking be affected if the state adopts the proposed tax on carbon? That's the question this morning for Rob Roper and Bill Sayre on Common Sense Radio, a project of the Ethan Allen Institute. I have these little brain hiccups, Tom. I don't know if you have those yet. Probably not. You're way too young to be experiencing the brain hiccups that...
You would think so, but no, I have that. I lost a book. I have this wonderful book I got, and I can't find it.
Oh, no. What's
I'm
the book?
I'm afraid it fell off the car or something.
I
can't find it anywhere. I brought it up to work the other day and was going to read it this weekend at camp. And I don't know where it is. It's a book about Titanic.
A book about the Titanic?
Yeah, well, it's about the ships that did not respond to the SOS.
Really?
And the one that is commonly known as the Californian, but there was another one, the Mount Temple,
mm-hmm.
who might have been even closer. And it just is very interesting just getting into it. I don't know where it is.
Wow.
Lost my toothbrush the other day, found it. So I have a lot of hiccups.
Well,
it's a common thing, especially on the Monday.
Yeah.
We're going to have a hiccup or two.
Yeah, I know it. I'm just changing gears out coming out of the weekend is tough for me, too. Hoy. What a weekend, though. Great rainy day, you know, in Craftsbury anyway. I don't know what about things that were happening where you were, but in Craftsbury we had this is like the big outdoor weekend of the summer. We had Antiques and Uniques, which is the huge big town. All the nonprofits in town team up together and throw this huge event and then divvy up any net proceeds. And, of course, it was rainy. We had a pretty good turnout anyway, though. At least things were hopping in the food tent where I always do the cash box. So
I think
that was
like, the 46th annual or something like that? I saw it somewhere. Maybe it was the 35th around in there.
It was some annual.
A lot of anniversaries.
Yep, a lot of anniversaries. Some annual event it was, and it was a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun, and it's something as a town we all kind of pull in to do together. We used to do it for Vermont Children's Aid, and then they moved on to other ways of raising funds, and so a wonderful woman, Anne Marie Keppel, took over the organizing of it, and it now benefits all the nonprofits in town. And the way it works is you go, you put in your volunteer hours, and you credit them to one of the organizations, and at the end they divvy up the net and split it according to the proportion of volunteer hours that came from each organization. And it works great, and everybody pulls together, and it's
good.
A lot of fun. Big weekend for the Mountaineers, too. They won. This has got to be my favorite team name in that league. The Keene Swamp Bats, beaten by the Vermont Mountaineers on Sunday night in the New England Collegiate Baseball League. Kenley Dean's going to be talking about that a little bit more later on. So he wanted
to go Mountaineers. They've had kind of a struggling season at times, but lot of great support. Well, they were champions last year, the whole league. So I mean, you can't do that every year. Be nice, but you know, they just did that, so they maybe get a little downtime.
A little downtime. Maybe they're turning it around. You know, the Bulls starting to slop the other way again.
Down at the Rec Field, beautiful.
Yeah. That's a great place to see a game.
They do a wonderful job. When they first started, it was good, but last time I went, they have all the sound effects, and it's I got to throw out the first pitch once.
Did you?
Absolutely awful.
Did it get all the way to the plate?
I think it was one of those bouncers. Yeah. I thought I could do it. Everyone said, you got to practice. I said, yeah. Tom Lozon, the mayor, was there, and his was really good, and he was not afraid to tell me that. He said, well, I practice for a half hour with my
please.
Son.
So. No intimidation
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
I could walk it to the plate.
I really should have. It's harder than you think.
Yeah, it is. No, so, it's not harder than I think.
Than I thought. I'm not defending myself. I should have practiced, but I didn't.
Yeah, well.
Lesson learned.
Yep, I suppose. Never accept that offer again. It would be the lesson I would take away from that
experience.
Well,
I think there is a WDEV-sponsored night, but not sure.
Well, I'm sure we have much stronger arms on the station staff.
Well,
than my
and practice.
Practice. That's true. How about you out there, listeners? We haven't had too much time to chat this morning yet, but, you know, I always like that part of Mondays. I'd love to hear what you're thinking. So think about giving us a phone call, 244-1777, or you can call us toll-free at 1-877-291-8255. What's on your mind? What about the news? We had a couple callers earlier talking a bit about the elections and things that have been happening around the country. Love to hear what your thoughts are about that. Had some breaking news this morning from the music world. Poor old Joe Perry apparently collapsed at a concert in Coney Island last night. He's in the hospital. He's stable, according to latest news reports. But boy, oh boy, does that make me feel old if Joe Perry is having to sit down and be carted off on a stretcher. Boy, oh boy. Signs of my misspent youth. I hate to see them get carted off to the hospital.
Well, yeah, of course, those guys... you know, lead kind of a hard lifestyle. I would say maybe you've had more healthy habits over the years than.
He's been pretty cleaned up for goodness 25 years now. All of them have. You know, you can't keep doing that and survive it. It's like Keith Richards, who by every insurance, you know, adjust. What do they call those charts where they like figure out? According to all those risk charts, he should have been dead 15 years ago, and he's still ticking.
That does happen. Jerry Lee Lewis, who's not in the best of health, but out of all those people, Johnny Cash, Elvis, everybody, and he's a lot of health problems over the years, but he's
still ticking.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. Well, clean living has been a hallmark for a number of these folks who perhaps were heroes in our eyes for what they were able to stand up to when they were younger. Misplaced hero worship in that case, but I'm glad that Joe's still above ground, and I'm glad that he's stable, and I hope that he'll be back out performing again soon. He can really rip it up, and I like to hear him do so. Coming up a little bit later on the program, we are looking forward to a visit from Penny Lynch from Community College of Vermont. They've got a lot of new stuff going in the area of workforce education, and we're going to be hearing from her about those things, and she'll be here to address questions you might have if you or someone you support could use a little boost up in the next step in career advancement. Penny would be the lady to hear from and to ask questions of. So think about giving us a call when Penny gets here. Or before then, 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. That's the toll-free number here. To reach us on open mic, Hester Fuller is my name with you until 11 o'clock this morning. What else is going on here? Jeepers.
Well, you got this weekend stock car racing. Oh, NASCAR comes to Loudoun.
Yeah.
So that's the big one that a lot of folks
are
going to see. The caravans of RVs headed in that direction pretty soon.
Yeah, going to be a whole little brigadoon, little community that forms just on the weekend and then disappears again.
Yeah.
That'll be pretty good. Thunder Road coming up again, of course, on Thursday night.
Yes, Thursday night is the... VP Racing Fuels Vermont Governor. Is that the Governor's Cup this week?
This
already?
Week? No. Really?
Yeah,
God,
I guess
where's
so.
The summer's just flying by.
It's halfway through the summer. Halfway through July, so
yeah.
It seems like we just got here.
Yeah, it does seem that way. And in fact, we did just get here, and before you know it, if you blink, it'll be gone. I saw a red maple leaf out of my alpaca pasture over the weekend.
Maybe it grew red.
I just think it's a freak of nature.
Yeah, it's one of those. It's a test.
That's right. Yeah,
just this is a test of the leaf changing system.
Yeah, of your heart situation, whether you can withstand shock.
So Loudon's on the way, and then
we get the All-Star game tomorrow night.
Yeah, that's
Big Poppy's in that game, isn't he? It'd be his last time.
I don't know why.
I haven't
seen
the voting.
Seems to be playing better than ever.
I know.
He should retire more often.
No, Poppy, say it ain't so.
Yeah. Oh,
love that guy. Big 1,000-watt grin. Just cheers you right up just to see him coming around the corner.
Certainly, they were having a tough time before this home stretch.
And I haven't actually followed. I've had a bunch of family stuff I've had to deal with and have not paid a whole lot of attention of late, like, say, the last 10 days or so. But
they were really hoping that this homestand, if things didn't turn around, then you're going to see maybe a lot of management changes and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they seem to have done pretty well.
Oh, so, good. Pulling it together.
Yeah.
That would be a great thing. How about you out there, listeners? Love to hear what's on your mind today. You've been following the news, following the story out of Dallas, following the election, the proceedings of the election. Next week, we're going to start having the conventions to talk about, aren't we?
Yeah. A lot of coverage here, too.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have the thing in there?
I don't have anything right next to me, but I do understand that we have people from Channel 3 checking in.
Mm-hmm.
The people from Talk Media News, I believe Bob Ney, who's on with Mike a lot, he'll be there.
Great.
And there's some other folks that were Vermont Digger, I think, has got some folks there.
Oh, I'm
so
sure
we'll
do.
Have
yeah.
coverage on a daily basis, and then I think some other features. So some talk.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I haven't heard too much in terms of rumblings about rules and the Republicans and what they're thinking of doing, but I imagine that's going to be the game to be paying attention to.
Well, they're saying, the scene outside of these venues is going to be kind of interesting too. People might not necessarily agree and whatnot. So.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be reporters outside as well as inside. So, you can't – anything goes this year.
When I was a young kid, the 1968 elections was sort of my first time I was paying attention to what was happening on a national level. And that, of course, was the year of the Chicago situation outside the Democratic convention. And, boy, oh, boy, that made a huge impression on me at the time. And I just – I wonder about the kids that are going to be kind of tuning in, literally tuning in – to what the political scene in America is all about over this particular cycle and wondering what imprint it's going to leave on them.
You played pretty good attention for being just a year old back then.
Aren't you sweet? Oh, my goodness. How much did I pay you to say that?
No comment.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, I was more than one. This is true. I was a sentient being by then. Anyway, so that's coming up next week, and then the Democrats have their turn at it. Tomorrow, Bernie and Hillary are going to be on the stump together, I gather, in New Hampshire.
Kind of interesting how that all played out the way it has.
Well, the rumor is that he's actually going to formally endorse her tomorrow.
That's what it looks like.
We'll have to see what kind of an impact that has. I'm sort of staying away from commenting on what he should have or could have done differently. I think what he's done has been tremendously important, and I hope to see its impact reverberate as we move away from the primary season and down the chute of the national general election.
Yeah, I was thinking I was completely fine if he wanted to go right through the convention and then do something, but I don't. We'll see how it plays out. I guess they know what they're talking about.
Well,
so
we'll have to. Well, that'd be a first.
Yeah, wow.
244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. We'll let you into the conversation. Love to hear what's on your mind today. Tom and I, we talk every Monday, but we don't get to hear from you all that often, so we'd sure like to hear what you have to think, what you have to say, and what you think about current events and stuff on the horizon, things that matter to you, things that you're doing with this gorgeous weather that we're supposedly going to have now that we've had our one weekend of nasty weather in the summer, now that that's behind us. It's about 10 minutes of 10 o'clock, and we are going to be back with more open mic, but first we have to take a pause for business. We'll be back on the other side. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm with you until 11 o'clock today, as I am every Monday here on WDEV. This is our chance to hear from you, our listeners. We'd love to know what's on your mind this morning. What are you thinking about after a tumultuous week and weekend? Give us a call and let us know. 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. Tom McLeod and I are sitting here shooting the breeze and talking about life in the North Country and what we've all been up to and thinking about the events that are to come. We have a couple conventions coming up next week. I know you don't have any opinions about those because, you know, goodness knows, whenever we ask about the elections, no one ever calls in. So, but maybe you can drum it up and have some opinions, listeners. We'd love to hear from you today.
It is Red Sox Yankees when they get back together this weekend.
Aha,
so
good.
That's pretty exciting. Yeah. Mentioned the Loudon. We'll have coverage of the Loudon race too at 12:30 on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So, a lot going on.
Busy sports weekend. Busy.
It's the Open in golf. Some people call it the British Open. You're supposed to call it the Open.
The Open.
So that's at Royal Troon in Scotland.
What was that little crack that someone was making earlier about guys chasing a little white ball around?
Oh, that was somebody else that works over. They were talking about baseball.
I know. What's the difference?
Well, it's all in how you hit the ball.
Yeah.
You know, golf club. Oh, hey, we got a call coming in.
Oh, good.
Probably
then
people have to
hear what people are thinking. That's a good idea. This is Open Mic. Hester Fuller is my name, and I want to hear from you this morning. I want to know what's on your mind. The numbers here are 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. We're going to have time for at least one little chat with a listener, and that listener is Sam calling from Williston. Sam, what's on your mind?
Yes, I was wondering, what was your takeaway from the 68 convention? I don't remember what mine was. How did you perceive that whole scenario?
Well, I'm actually much more interested in your take, and then I will tell you mine. What was your take?
Well, I was working for the McCarthy campaign at the time,
mm-hmm.
and I still have a letter that was sent out to one of the delegations, prior to the convention. Speaking to the fact that they felt it was already going to be railroaded, and it was railroaded, and how the party got Hubert Humphrey in, as opposed to people that were in the mix of things. You lost Bobby Kennedy,
mm-hmm.
Even though Eugene was in prior to him.
Mm-hmm.
Johnson bows out.
Mm-hmm.
The party elite still gets the people they want in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think that's what gave you Richard Nixon.
Well, you know, when you think about it, that's kind of the way things were in the party. I mean, it was always kind of a brokered deal right up through the Kennedy's nomination in the 60 campaign. It was always a brokered kind of a deal.
But therefore not being Democratic.
Well, there's different ways to look at it. You know, there's different ways to there are arguments to be made about where the democratic process begins and ends in those things.
At that point in time, McCarthy had more of the delegates.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, you asked me what I was thinking, what I came away with. I mean, I came away with certainly with a very young, tender-aged person. I'm not going to come away with radically conservative views, and I did not. But the person who made the biggest impression on me in 1968 was Julian Bond. He gave that tremendous speech from the floor. It just really stuck in my head and stuck in my head for years and years and years. And I never really understood. Well, I did, but I didn't then understand why he wasn't immediately seized upon for the brains and the heart that were so evident in that speech.
He was a great one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a great one.
Yep, absolutely.
Unfortunately, when you look at the cannibalization of people like him and Bill Bradley, I feel that's the way that party runs.
I don't disagree with that. I really don't. I'm sort of playing devil's advocate here because of the just sort of the nature of the beast of trying to get a process to complete itself in time to actually change administrations, you know, on schedule. There's going to be some sort of an apparatus, don't you think? I mean, it can't be a free for all.
Well, I mean, I do believe that if you have delegations going out from states and the states say, hey, this is who we think we'd like to have, I don't consider that a free-for-all.
Fair enough.
It's the vote.
Yeah.
And it is a delegate.
Mm-hmm.
If you get there and you don't come to a consensus first time out, I guess it does go through the route.
Yeah, it does kind of have to do that, and it can get
when guys like Dick Daly are running the show. I don't think it's a good process.
No, I don't disagree with that at all. Seriously, I really don't. It is what it is. I wish we had a little more time right now. It always seems that we end up getting into interesting topics as we approach the top of the hour and our 10 o'clock news break. But, Sam, I hope you'll call us again, and I hope you'll be part of a wider conversation on exactly this. It's good to have the perspective, the historical perspective, as well as just different points of view about these things. I want to remind folks that you are listening to WDEV AM 550 in Waterbury, Vermont. And, Tom, I don't have my call list with the frequency. He's in front of me. I can't believe I left it out of here.
I got it. You ready?
Go for it.
Okay, here we go. You are listening to locally owned and operated 96.1 WDEV FM Warren, FM 96.5 Barrie, AM 550 WDEV Waterbury Montpelier, and serving the kingdom on FM 101.9 from Island Pond.
And welcome back to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you until 11 o'clock, at which time Bill Sarah and Rob Roper will be joining us, joining you, taking over for Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. And today their topic will be the tax burden in Vermont and how we rank among the 50 United States, and also how that tax ranking will be affected if Vermont adopts the proposed tax on carbon. That's coming up at 11 this morning. Rob Roper and Bill Sarah with Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute here weekdays on WDEV at 11 in the morning. Right now, though, it's time to hop down south to Washington, D.C., where Victoria Jones from Talk Media News is on the line. Good morning, Victoria.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
It's been quite the weekend. Rallies, protests, prayers in Washington all day yesterday?
Yes, it's been a very busy weekend in terms of responses to the Dallas shootings on Thursday night, and also the murders of five police officers who were dead and a number of others who were injured, mm-hmm. and earlier in the week of two black men by police officers. So, yes, and protests, of course, continuing over the weekend about that.
And the president cut his Spanish trip short, I hear. He's headed to Texas tomorrow, is that right?
Yes, he was at a NATO summit in Poland, and then he went on to Spain after that, but he cut it short so that he could come back, because he is attending a memorial service tomorrow in Dallas. He'll be there with Vice President Joe Biden, mm-hmm. and former President George W. Bush and Laura Bush will also be there. President Obama and George W. Bush, the former president, they will both speak.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's happening in D.C. while all this is transpiring in other parts of the country?
Well, do you mean related to that? Or
well, related generally? Or just generally. I mean, Congress has got to be...
Congress is in its last week of this session, unless for some bizarre reason they decided to stay longer, but it doesn't look like they're going to. They want to get out, and they want to get out because the conventions start next week. It's the Republican convention next week, Democratic Party convention the week after. So they want to be done. They want it all done this week, and they've got things to do. I mean, they want to try and get the Zika funding sorted out. They want to try and get something done on gun control and keeping guns out of the hands of terrorists, if they can do that this week. Neither of those are going to be easy, because there are huge disagreements on the Zika funding bill between Republicans and Democrats, and on the gun bill in the House, there are huge disagreements not only between Republicans and Democrats, but between the far-right House Freedom Caucus members and leadership, Republican leadership. Mm. So they've got problems there. So those are the two big legislative things. The opioid addiction bill, a bill to try to address some issues regarding that, was a bipartisan bill, even though Democrats had some issues with the funding of it. It passed last week, and that will go to the president to be signed this week.
Mm-hmm. So maybe some crawling forward.
On that issue, that's the one issue I think there's some crawling forward on, yes.
Yeah, but realistically, not too much is likely to come out of this until we are past the conventions and into the home stretch toward the general.
Well, I mean, then after the conventions, once they go out at the end of this week, they start on a 7-week recess.
Yep.
So nothing's going to happen then until September.
Right.
And once they come back in September, traditionally, I mean, things can change, but traditionally they don't get much done in the run-up to a general election.
Mm-hmm. So we're kind of in a backwater, kind of in an eddy at this point, and we're not going to see a whole lot of progress on things that matter to people in the foreseeable future, it sounds like.
We can have a bit of hope, but,
yeah.
You know.
Yep. Well, Victoria, when the things pick up, we know you'll be there, and we look forward to chatting with you again every Monday here on WDEV. Hope you have a great week.
Thank you. You too.
See you later. Victoria Jones from Talk Media News joins us every Monday morning. We will be back in just a few minutes with Penny Lynch, who's the Executive Director for Workforce Education at Community College of Vermont, right after these messages. Good morning and welcome back to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio, coming out of Waterbury and a bunch of other places. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you until 11 o'clock this morning, as I am every Monday morning. And it's my great pleasure to welcome a former colleague, Executive Director of Workforce Education, Penny Lynch, from Community College of Vermont. Good morning, Penny.
Good morning.
Thank you for being able to drop by. I'm excited because I understand there's some new developments at CCV in the area of workforce education, and you're now offering us a special new kind of credential that might be of interest to many of our listeners.
Yes, we are. So the one I think we're going to talk about now is the Certified Production Technician training that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a industry-recognized credential where a lot of funding sources are now requiring those.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a grade in school might not tell what your abilities are, there's a curriculum and tests that with this actually measure the skills you have to
go forward. So it's a competency-based rather than
it
just
is.
Sort of a score kind
yes,
of thing.
Yes, it's very competency-based. So the courses are made up of four modules. Mm-hmm. There's a safety module, quality module, a manufacturing processes module, and a maintenance awareness module. We work with unemployed individuals who don't have the skills. Maybe they're just coming out of high school or they've lost a job. So we help them get trained up to work in manufacturing, which often pays better wages than some other jobs. We also work with incumbent workers, people who the organization wants to promote, but they don't have that skill level to move up to a better paying job within the organization.
Now, there's a perception that manufacturing kind of isn't anywhere in Vermont right now. That's not quite accurate.
It's not accurate at all. It's often invisible, but we have a lot of manufacturing going on. It's a great economic development for our state.
Mm-hmm.
We have lots of manufacturers who are growing, but with the aging workforce and the perception that manufacturing isn't a great place to work, they're struggling to find good employees.
And so that's the niche that
yes.
CCV is attempting to fill here. Who is this? You mentioned that folks maybe just coming out of high school who hadn't worked before, or folks who are already in the workforce who just need to ratchet up the skills a little bit. Who are the kinds of, you mentioned manufacturers, but are there other employers also who are looking to these kinds of credentials? Maybe not specifically the production one, but
right. So we are trying to incorporate credentials in our computer trainings,
mm-hmm.
in our allied health trainings. Those are with manufacturing, allied health, and computer trainings. There are often credentials that go along with that that demonstrate the skill, not just that you were in a classroom and mm-hmm. you were exposed to the information.
And these are credentials that come out of industry. They're not just sort of arbitrarily devised by academics in a room somewhere.
That's correct. So, sorry, I'm doing
Let me see if I can get you a drink of water.
Okay.
Hang on. Well, actually, if you could tell us.
Yeah.
Here, you can have a little sip of this one, too.
Okay, thank you. So the Certified Production Technician Training came out of a national organization that was made up of manufacturers, and they decided together across the nation what are the skills that a new employee would need to get into the manufacturing profession, no matter what the manufacturing environment was, to be successful within manufacturing.
Mm-hmm.
So they've come together, they update the curriculum every couple of years, and it's always informed by employers and employer needs.
That's tremendous, and there's an ongoing kind of a conversation that perpetuates itself.
Yes.
In reviews. CCV has done an awful lot in recent years. Actually, since I was there, there's been some significant developments in the kinds of focuses that the college has developed, particularly around STEM education, science, technology, engineering, and math. And this plays right into that.
It does. So within most of those certificates, you can feed right into a science, technology, engineering, mathematics, either a certificate program, which is about 30 credits, mm-hmm. or a two-year degree. We are also, whenever we offer training when possible, we're attaching college credit to it if it's worthy of college credit, so people get a fast-track start to an education if they'd like to go to school.
To earn an associate's degree.
Correct.
That's terrific. So this kind of can do double duty, sort of like the dual enrollment does for the kids that are still in high school.
Yes, we recognize 78% of our students work either full or part-time, mm-hmm. so they're not always able to commit to school. And some don't want to go to college. They want to have a good skill, get right in the workplace. But we know from research that those who have some college credits are often more likely to finish their degree somewhere mm-hmm. Down the line when they have time to do that.
And that's a frustrating thing, too, because the public, the taxpaying public who funds public institutions wants to see a connection between the money they spend and the number of graduates coming out. But the way the statistics are calculated, it's often hard to really track somebody who could very well have started on that path at a place like CCV, finished somewhere else, and then there's a disconnect. So we don't always get to see.
It's pretty impossible sometimes. We do have a lot of, we have 7,000 students. They often start with us because they have a goal at another college or they need some readiness skills. And so they are not counted actually anywhere because they are not first-time freshmen anywhere.
Right, and that's the way the federal stats work.
Yes,
they've always worked looking at folks who are first-time first-year students as the entering group. My guest is Penny Lynch, who's an executive director at CCV for Workforce Education. And if you have a question for Penny or would like to comment, give us a call at 244-1777 or toll-free 1-877-291-8255. The industrial recognized credentials, where did they come out of? Did they come out of some kind of an industry-based?
Yeah, so it's an industry-recognized credential. The ones that we offer are what industry recognizes as competency-based learning.
And how do you learn what they recognize? How do you learn where these things are going to come from?
Most of the ones that we work with come from the U.S. Department of Labor. They have certain credentials that they will count towards either funding people to come to school or grants that we're applying for. Mm-hmm. But it's pretty comprehensive. Vermont's a little laid back, and we don't have as many requirements for industry-recognized credentials as other states, but we're moving in that direction.
And this can make a huge difference for someone who wants a job in a field that has a future, has reasonably different pay, a reasonably better pay.
Yes. And it gives someone a career pathway, so they're able to start, learn something, get on the job, and then figure out where do I want to go with this occupation that I'm in. Mm-hmm. So it's a great way to get started.
Yeah. Who's taking advantage of this in Vermont now?
Well, a lot of employers. We have several cohorts going on in St. Albans, several in the Chittenden County area. We're just starting one up in Brattleboro. We have many going on in Rutland, and then we're starting one this fall in St. Johnsbury, and I believe another one in Bennington.
So it's not student-driven necessarily. Employers will be in touch with CCV and say, this is what we're looking for. Is that the idea?
Yeah, so we have a lot of different ways. So we have employers who are really struggling, particularly in Chittenden County, but finding good employees. So they're hiring people that if we had a higher unemployment rate, they may not have hired that person. Mm-hmm. But now they're willing to take a risk on them. And so then they hire us to help bring them on board sometimes. Mm-hmm. Other times they interview and then we provide the training and they promise a job after they have completed the training. They know they have the skills they need to be successful. Mm-hmm. And then they have incumbents that need to increase the skills. I often see people that the employer knows that they want to move them up. It's, they're just having a few gaps, so the training helps with those gaps.
Now, does CCV have a thought of, or a theory, or is it even relevant to what you're doing as to why we're seeing folks who actually make it into the workforce but have these gaps and what might seem like pretty fundamental skills? not to put you on the spot.
Well, I do know about half of our students started out and they're not ready for college level either writing or mathematics. It's sort of the way it is. People don't think of themselves as college ready. Mm-hmm. They go right into the workplace, and then they have some gaps, so they're not able to move forward. Mm-hmm. We also have a lot of very talented older employees that are getting ready to retire, and we have a declining high school enrollment. So that's sort of a collision where employers are losing some of their best talent and they're bringing others in. We have a couple of programs that work with people right out of high school, so we get them started and on their way.
It really sounds like a perfect storm, congealing.
It is.
Coming together and making it difficult to find folks to keep the industries going. The nature of the businesses that find this useful, you mentioned manufacturing, mm-hmm. you've mentioned medical assisting.
Yeah.
Do they span a wider spectrum than that, or is there a place, I guess, for other businesses to come in and find out how this kind of program can support them and their needs?
Yes. Yeah, so we love to hear from employers, and generally when we are contacted by an employer, we go in and we do a needs assessment, and we figure out what is it that they're missing in their workforce that would help them move ahead with their business. And so there's all kinds of we have customer service training, we have bookkeeping training, we have all kinds of things to help businesses figure out where they want to go. We do a lot of supervisory and leadership training. Companies have great people that are maybe on a line or in a lower position that they want to move up into a supervisor position, mm-hmm. but they may not have those skills, but they know they're going to be good, so they turn to us for that development as well.
I'm talking with Penny Lynch, Executive Director of Workforce Education at Community College of Vermont, and we're talking about things CCV offers that can help you if you're an employer looking to up the skill levels of folks who are working for you, if you're having a hard time finding folks to employ in your company. You might be interested in checking this out. Give us a call if you have a question for Penny about this and how you can get involved, 244-1777, or call us toll free at 1-877-291-8255, and we will be back on the other side after these words. Good morning and welcome back. It's 10:30 and you're listening to Open Mic on WDEV News Radio. Hester Fuller is my name. I'm with you until 11 o'clock this morning, at which time Bill Sayre will be in with Rob Roper for Common Sense Radio, brought to you by the Ethan Allen Institute. Bill's here every weekday morning at 11 o'clock. Today, their topic is Vermont's tax burden and how the state ranks among the 50 states and how that ranking could be affected if the state adopts the proposed tax on carbon. Tune in for that. That will be Common Sense Radio coming up in just half an hour right here on WDEV News Radio. Right now, I'm chatting with Penny Lynch, who is an executive director at Community College of Vermont for Workforce Education. And we're talking about new offerings there. The industrial recognized credentials that are being made available through workforce education initiatives, some of which are initiated by employers themselves. We just put out a call for anyone who is in a position as an employer who would like to find out more about working with CCV to cultivate the workforce that you need for your business. You can give us a call at 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. We also want to talk, though, about the folks who enroll in these sections, who are, I gather, some of them are kind of enrolled by their employers. But then there are also, if I'm not employed by anybody, and yet I feel this would really fill a gap that I notice or I had trouble with in a previous employment situation, what do I do? Is there a way for me to get into this, too?
So we have quite a few sections that are open to the public. Anyone interested in coming in and taking the training can do so. We have employers who are looking for employees, so they may have a class that has some incumbent, and then they open up the openings to people that in the community that just might want to be in that field, and mm-hmm. they can take classes as well.
And how would they find out about that?
So we do a lot of advertising. It's on our website, ccv.edu. We work with a lot of community organizations that may encounter someone who's not employed, mm-hmm. and just people who walk through our doors or we see at a job fair, mm-hmm. and they make a connection with us and take the training.
And there they are. And that puts them in front of prospective employers and also puts them in a situation where they can fill some of those gaps if that's something that's been in the way, standing between themselves and a gainful career in a field that they find really interesting. CCV's long history of working with people the way they really are, with the skills they really bring, and the situation they're really in. And one of the most fabulous things that I think CCV does is this the project that, or the program they've got for taking someone's prior learning, the things they've known and developed through their career or through their working life, and helping translate that into college credits, the assessment of prior learning. Can we talk a bit about where that's at today?
Sure. It's thriving. Mm-hmm. So the assessment of prior learning course is for people who are a bit older, you know, mid-20s and older, I think our oldest student was about 80 years old. And the project, it's a course. You get 3 credits, but you put together a timeline of your life and your experiences, and then you break it into pieces that are learning that you got outside of the classroom, whether it's you run your own small business. You certainly don't want to sit through a 3-credit course when you've already run your own business. Things that you've done in the community, volunteerism, a lot of courses. So then that helps students get through a degree more quickly.
So these would be activities where you have to employ or develop the skills that were otherwise taught in credit-bearing courses in a college. You don't want to have to sit through those to be recognized for what you already know.
We see a lot of people who skipped college and they're very smart and innovative, and they started their own businesses, or they just whatever the business is, and now they want, for their own self-satisfaction, or they're leaving their business, they want to go on to something that requires some sort of a degree. Mm-hmm. So they use this, and I think the average award is 20 to 25 credits. We've seen a lot more than that.
And to put that in perspective, how many credits add up to, say, an associate's degree?
60 credits.
So that's like almost half the degree right there.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Third of the degree.
Yep. Third.
It could be half.
Yeah, it could be half, 20 to 30. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a real significant boost to someone who may want to go from the status of just simply knowing what they're doing to having a credential that is a marker when it comes to going to employers who've never met them and don't know anything about them. They see that this piece of paper, and it tells them something that they find useful.
We had a bunch of HR people come in and talk about why a degree, and they talked about that they have criteria. So if you sometimes they don't care what the degree is in, but they care that you have one. Mm-hmm. And the reason they care is because it shows that you can be committed and finish something. So right or wrong, sometimes people without that credential get tossed away without anyone getting to know them just because they don't have that credential.
Yeah, it's a marker. And in a time when employment is tight, employers are really looking for reasons to discount somebody just to winnow the pile down that they have to pick through in some detail.
Right.
So having the piece of paper can make a material difference in the prospects that are open to you.
It's also a great course for employers who are looking to upskill employees and get a degree. I have one gentleman I worked with, and he had been working in a pretty high job, and then the company changed and he had to have a degree. So he was able to go through the assessment of prior learning. Again, I think he got like 30 credits. But what had happened is because he didn't have the degree, he got bumped down. Mm-hmm. So he's now able to finish his degree and get back into the position he was in.
That he was in, that's
and
right.
And we've had employers that send a dozen students or so into classes, and the course is pretty affordable. And we had one company work with a dozen. They ended up, I think, getting about 240 credits combined, the students, which saved the company about $45,000
in paying for tuition for their education.
Yes.
So it's worth it for employers to look into the assessment of prior learning
as
well. Tremendous opportunity for Vermonters, and it's available every semester all around the state. Is that not?
It's true.
That's right.
Yeah. Yep.
And in terms of assessing the credentials, I know just because I was privileged to be on one of these panels, it's not just somebody kind of looks at your little collection of papers that you've got and stamps it and says, yeah, okay. You run these by people who really do know the field in which the person is claiming
some learning. We do. So it's a pretty intense process for the student. They submit their portfolio, and then it's submitted to a team of 5 or 6 people, which includes people from industry, faculty from the community college, faculty from
other
colleges, and people who are experts in the field. And they, in a group, look at the portfolios and decide what is worth college credit.
Yep, and they'll map it against the curriculum offerings that define a particular level of study in an institution. So it's a pretty solid credential. It's something that employers have learned to rely upon as they would rely upon a piece of paper, a ticket, a degree, a diploma from someplace.
Right.
And this is all just a huge advantage to folks who have come to a point in life when the college degree they decided to forego earlier in life is starting to make some sense, or just maybe it's a personal goal, or maybe, as Penny has just been describing, would make a real difference in the material success they can realize on the job. It's a chance to take what you actually know and have that translated into this piece of paper that others use as a marker for whether that's fair or not fair.
Right.
That is how the world works.
Right.
And this is a way to meet the world where it is and have them recognize you for what you really are. If you're interested in any of these programs or if you've got other questions for Penny, give us a call, 244-1777 or toll-free, 877-291-8255. That'll put you in touch with us here on Open Mic. Penny, how do people pay for getting this done? Is there financial aid? Is there help to find financial aid?
Yes. So we have financial aid counselors in every one of our locations. Employers often have funds that can pay for tuition. The certified production technician training that I'm talking about right now, we have a grant that pays for the entire program.
Oh, terrific. So if you qualify,
that's right,
you're in here and
right
on your way.
Yes. So that's a great opportunity. A lot of people, we've probably got 200 people now in the pipeline.
Wow.
From that program in just 1 year.
That's tremendous. And does this apply to the public sections as well, or is this the ones the employers have recruited? Or
it applies to all sections.
Wow, that's tremendous.
Yes.
So there's another real opportunity. Folks coming out of high school, if you feel like there's a bit of a gap and you want to fill it in, you've been out there on the job market since graduation and you're not having the kind of success there that you had hoped you would, maybe this is an avenue for you to pursue and to check out. That and CCV's many, many offerings, really, really addressing the needs of working Vermonters and where they are. They're all over the place, too, right?
Yes. We have 12 locations across the state.
Yep.
And a very largest online program in the state,
mm-hmm,
as well.
Yep. It's pretty tremendous. I think nobody's more than, 25, 30 miles from
No more than 25 miles from 95%. Of the population, which means we have a little hard time in Island Pond and little areas like that. But other than that, we're within 25 miles of every Vermonter.
So definitely a doable prospect, even in the wintertime. What's the timeline for this? I know you're in the middle of the summer offerings right now. Registration, I'm sure, is underway for fall already.
It is. So our next set of offerings, we have some that are going on right now through the fall, and then we have others that will be starting right after Labor Day as well.
And are they in particular academic centers, particular locations around the state?
They are. The ones that I know about right now are Brattleboro, St. Johnsbury, Rutland, Winooski, and in St. Albans for the fall.
So pretty far flung, too.
Yes.
It seems like if you're in one of those areas or even nearby, it's within reach. How does that work logistically if I've never taken a CCV course before? How much of my time am I committing to this? Do I need to be there? Do I need to be there more than, say, one or two days a week, or
no,
how does that work?
Most of our classes meet once per week. We recognize that we serve working Vermonters, and it's easier to take 3 hours out of your day once a week than coming 1 hour for 3 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
That's the model we've always worked on. It works quite well.
So it's easier to arrange childcare too, I would imagine, too.
That's right.
I know that's a concern for CCV
and
students.
And we're also offering courses on weekends as well now, which might be
terrific.
New. Yes.
Yeah, that is new.
I think that really helps people who are working full-time and to get some education.
We have a caller on the line, John from Lake Elmore. Good morning, John.
Hey, Esther. This is not going to be a very enlightening phone call, but I just want to say that I have a daughter who got an associate's degree from CCV a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
She's been struggling with trying to find out where she fits in,
mm-hmm,
in society and in the world, and trying to discover her passion. And I've gone to a lot of graduations in my life, and that graduation at CCV was the most astounding and moving experience I've had in a long time.
Can you tell give us a little like a nutshell picture? Tell us about a moment there that really grabbed you.
It grabbed me. Just the visual was the most amazing thing, to see all those people up there, the pride that was etched in their faces, and it was palpable. You could feel the pride of these kids, and I'll call them kids even though they're not, who have really perhaps not gotten as much acknowledgement and kudos as they should have. And now they're getting both, and their families with them were just bursting with pride. It's the most amazing experience. I can't say enough about CCV for boosting the spirits and the egos and the just the who make people glad to be alive. And so I want to thank CCV for just being there.
Thank you. And John, I happen to supervise the Morrisville CCV, and we loved your student as well, your daughter.
Well, thanks. And it just meant everything to her, and she's still, as a result, she's still taking courses, and even after getting her degree, her associate's degree, and we're just very grateful for your being there, so thank you.
That's great.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks for calling in, John. Yeah. We really appreciate
sure.
it. What John describes is not unique to John or John's family. I remember seeing that often, the look on the family's faces at the graduation. It's an event for the entire family when someone comes through CCV.
I hardly ever get through without crying.
I'm sure that's true.
We have close to 600 graduates every year. Mm-hmm. They come together. The only time they're ever together is at graduation, because we're all over the state. And these 600 graduates bring along 2, 3, 6.
I was going to say 600 graduates, thousands of people in the audience.
Yeah, 5,000 people in the mm-hmm. audience. And it's very moving. Part of our ceremony is we hand a carnation to each graduate and then ask them to pass that along to someone who supported them. Sometimes it's their kids, mm-hmm. sometimes a parent, a spouse. It's very moving. Mm-hmm. Probably about a half to two-thirds they're the first people to get a degree in their
yep.
family, and it's very inspiring.
It really is. It's tremendous to see that happen. It's also tremendous to see the students on a day-to-day basis who are working toward these degrees, many of them juggling enormous commitments, family, 1, 2, 3 different jobs,
yes.
Significant burdens in terms of health care and other obligations, insurance, and so forth, and just sticking to it and going there and gritting it out and doing it.
Right.
And it's really very powerful.
That grit is something that you need, but yes,
yeah.
when it could be easy to quit and mm-hmm. keep going, that's mm-hmm. that's amazing.
It really is. I had exposure through the humanities, and particularly was very often very struck by the writing that I would see come out of things like the New Student Seminar and so forth. It was just really, really, really powerful. And to know what Vermont is made of when you see that sort of stuff, it's encouraging.
Yes.
For all of us. It's tremendous.
Community
College of Vermont, the topic this morning, Penny Lynch, an executive director for Workforce Education, is here to talk with us. And if you have questions or comments, give us a call, 244-1777 or toll free 1-877-291-8255. We're here until 11 o'clock this morning on WDEV. At 11, of course, Common Sense Radio with Bill Sayre, as he is every weekday morning at 11 o'clock. Today we're talking about Vermont's tax burden, and he'll have more about that at the top of the hour. Penny, I need to ask, too, about the STEM offerings the recent ones, the newer ones that have come up at CCV. How is that going, and what direction is the college taking that stuff into?
It's really going in a lot of different directions. Mm-hmm. We're moving into a very technology-based field of work. And so with the STEM certificate and degree, you can decide where it is you want to focus and then take those courses.
And what are the options, like when you say where you want to focus? How does that work?
It might be mathematics, mm-hmm. because you want to get an engineering degree and you don't have those skills yet. It could be in healthcare, where you need a series of science classes to be able to enter the program that beyond the, mm-hmm. the STEM degree. We have some manufacturing courses. It's all over the place.
It's tremendous, and there's a huge national spotlight on the whole idea of science, technology, engineering, and manufacturing. And so this fits right into that focus. We have a caller from St. Albans. John, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Great. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to make a comment. I have four daughters. Our oldest, three that are typical and one that has some special needs. She was at a program at UVM called Think College, which is designed to give a college experience to developmentally delayed kids. And we'd asked CCV, asked that she be enrolled in an American Sign Language class there. She happens to be deaf and needed some accommodations. And we were pretty disappointed to find out that although they could be provided at UVM, they wouldn't be provided at CCV. And I think philosophically, that's not a good place for CCV to be. And I would hope that in the future, they would consider, as the community college of Vermont, consider making those accommodations more available.
Accommodations or comment. I appreciate it, John. Are you talking accommodations or coursework?
Yes. Yeah.
Which?
She needed a. At UVM, they had that available where they'd have a student with her to help her with the coursework, and CCV declined to make that, to allow that to happen, not even to make it available, but allow it to happen, which we were very disappointed in.
Yeah, I bet you were. That doesn't sound like the CCV I know, so I bet that was quite disappointing.
Yeah, so it was our only, probably our only need for CCV in our lives, and, you know, as a lifelong Vermonter, I was rather disappointed that that couldn't happen.
Well, I appreciate that comment, and now let's hear the other side of it if we can. Penny, is there anything you can comment on that? I don't know how much you can comment given that it's a particular situation, but...
He's right. We're not a Think College member. Mm-hmm. We do participate in the meetings as well. Mm-hmm. And UVM has an excellent program. He's correct. They have an excellent program. We have some limited resources, and I'm happy to give... I'm the ADA compliance officer at the college, so I'd be happy to talk with you if you have some questions.
Okay. There's an answer there, John, and maybe that's a call to make. See where it is hard. I mean, there are a lot of needs, aren't there? And it's hard to balance, and it's hard to pay for absolutely everything.
It is, yeah. Yes.
And the state of Vermont is kind of notorious also for not being hugely supportive of its higher ed compared to some of the other.
I think depending how you count it, the support from our state is we're 48th, 49th, 50th. In the least amount of funding for state colleges.
And, of course, I suppose the argument could be made that there's federal support for the kinds of initiatives that John was just describing. But when there's not enough money anywhere, money goes where money needs to go.
Right.
Yeah, and it's hard. It's a hard thing, and it's a hard time, and it's a real set of needs. If I know CCV, though, it's something that is being worked on behind the scenes or in front. So we would love to see some change in that, and I have no doubt that the right people are paying attention to it. You are listening to Open Mic on WDEV. It's about 10 minutes in front of 11 o'clock. Our phone number here is 244-1777 or 1-877-291-8255. Our topic this morning has been workforce education and new initiatives at the Community College of Vermont, now offering industrial recognized credentials, competency-based credentials, measures of students' knowledge and skills in very practical ways. The first IRC offering at CCV is a certified production technician certificate, which focuses on skills needed for entry-level manufacturing. Others are in the pipeline, and seats are still available for the fall enrollment. We will be back in just a few moments. We have to take a business break right here on Open Mic. Someone's at the door, Tom. I guess this
I thought that song started a little different. Sorry about that.
It's quite all right. You are tuned to WDEV News Radio, and this is the Open Mic program. It's here every Monday through Friday morning from 9 until 11. Hester Fuller is my name, and I'm here on Mondays. And Mike Smith will be in this chair on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week. So do tune in. I'm not sure what Mike's array of guests is going to be this week. I'm sure it's still a work in progress, but you can count on it being interesting and informative, so I hope you'll tune in the other days of the week as well. Coming up at 11, of course, we have Bill Sayre and Common Sense Radio. Every weekday we have him on the air talking about interesting things from the perspective of the Ethan Allen Institute. Common Sense Radio comes your way on WDEV from 11 to noon every weekday morning. Right now, though, we're talking with Penny Lynch, who is Executive Director at Community College of Vermont. She's heading up the efforts on workforce education, and we've been talking about new credential programs. We are kind of midstream in the summer semester, I guess, right now, aren't we, Penny?
We are. We offer about 500 courses in the summer. I think all of them are started, maybe a couple of intensive that have not started yet. We're right in the middle of registration for our fall semester.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
So it's a great time to start working with a local center if you're planning to take classes in the fall.
Now, if I want to see what's being offered for fall, how can I find out?
So on our website, ccv.edu, you can find a listing of all the classes. You can find a contact number for each of the locations. Mm-hmm. And then you can even start the application online as well.
That's pretty good. And financial aid, too, I can access those kind of advice and
reference. You can. And we each center has a financial aid counselor, so we recommend people come in and talk with the financial aid counselor and get off on the right foot there.
Yeah, yeah. CCV, one of the things that makes it a remarkable institution is the nature of the faculty, who most of whom, I would say, are very active in their fields, in their communities, and teach at CCV on a part-time or adjunct basis. I think that's one of the strengths of the institution, is that real-world perspective.
Yes, I agree. And we call them part-time faculty, not adjunct. They're okay. Our faculty. Without our model, we wouldn't be able to serve some of the smaller communities, but we often hire people who are experts in their field, and then it's our job to help them become educators as well.
Yeah, a great deal of professional development support for faculty at CCV.
Yes, I think we do a great job supporting faculty, and it's great for the students to have a professional in the field that can give them real-life advice in the classes. Yes.
Yep. No, and it's a very vibrant and lively atmosphere. The students come in, and they come in from work. They come in from life. They're not, 100% full-time or overtime students. They have real lives, and they bring every bit of that to the table.
That's
and
right.
These are wonderful conversations and a deep kind of learning for the instructor and the students.
Great. I should also mention we have programs for students who are in high school as well. There's a couple of different programs where they can take one or two classes a semester, or they can do their entire senior year at CCV. And we have some specialists that work on that program.
Now, are we referring to the dual enrollment program, or the initiative that the state has had so that high school students were able to take, I think it's two courses?
Yes.
There's
a dual enrollment option where students are co-enrolled with their high school or their technical center. They can take classes at CCV and then use those classes towards their degree or at another school and towards their education at their high school
as well.
At
the same time, so you can do double duty,
count
towards your high school diploma and a future college degree.
Right.
Pretty terrific.
Yes.
Now, when it comes to dual enrollment, actually, my mind just went off on a sidetrack, because that is something I've been thinking about a lot lately, is the dual enrollment program and the ways in which students can take advantage of the college-level offerings that CCV has. How does a student find out about that stuff? Is that through a guidance counselor, or is that through direct contact, or parents make the initiative?
Each of our locations has a specialist for the dual enrollment, and sometimes it's through guidance counselors. Sometimes it's through a high school teacher or a parent. Our academic advisors go to high schools and have open houses where you can drop in on your lunchtime and talk about the program as well. So a variety of ways that we get students.
And that sounds, and the students who come through have a different perspective. The classes aren't held at high school, are they? They're held somewhere.
So we have some that it's a program where we can, if a student is taking a class at a high school that is college level, it can be awarded credit. But for the most part, it's great to get students out into the college environment and getting to understand what's going to happen when you go to college. Mm-hmm. So that's a great way to start.
Yep, and like any CCV class, that high school student will be sitting in the room with people from all walks of life and all levels of life experience, and it's a real eye opener, I think, for many students.
Yeah. Most of our students are over 30, about half, and so you could have a 14-year-old in the classroom, and you could have an 83-year-old in the classroom, and it's a very diverse conversation that happens.
It's a lot of fun to teach there too. So folks are thinking about teaching. I also had the privilege of doing that at CCV, and the thing I love about CCV as an instructor is people do the work. You know, I kill myself to put together an arrangement of things, activities for a 3-hour block. And it really depends on students having come in, having done the prep, or having completed the work that was assigned to get them ready for this. And at CCV, they almost always do. They always do. Enough of them always do. You usually have one or two that couldn't for family reasons or one thing or another. But it's very, very gratifying as an instructor to teach at CCV, because people really get into it, embrace the effort that they need, and want more.
Yes. Our classes are highly interactive, so we don't just lecture for 3 hours.
No.
It's a lot of different activities going on in one classroom at all times. Mm-hmm. So it's very important the students do their work, come in prepared for the next portion.
And they tend to. And they tend to be quite demanding of instructors, too. I mean, they're giving up something they know. It's time at home with the kids. It's, you know, time they might have pulled an extra shift at work. I mean, there's a keen awareness of the value for value thing that's going on here. And so it's incumbent on instructors to deliver the value that makes a student understand or believe that the instructors is invested in their success as they are. And I know that my experience with other instructors as well is that they are. And it's a gratifying experience to be in there and doing that. We're talking with Penny Lynch. She's at Community College of Vermont. She is Executive Director for Workforce Education. And lots of things happening on that front, as there has been historically at CCV. The latest thing there, the Industrial Recognized Credentials, which are incorporated in a set of courses that consist of modules. Now, when you say these IRC course modules, does that imply you can take them in sort of any order or whatever fits into your schedule? Is that how that works?
Right now we're taking, you need to go in order.
Okay.
We may move away from that, but each module builds on this on the last module, so it's we're having people take them in order.
Okay. Once again, before we wrap, how can folks, employers or prospective students, find out more about these things if anything has caught their interest here and they want to know more?
We have a great website, ccv.edu. We also have an email that is workforce@ccv.edu.
Okay.
And you'll see all of our contact information on our, particularly for employers under the Business and Industry tab, and for all other students, lots of places to find it.
Well, there's no reason not to check in and find out. Thank you so much, Penny, for joining me here this morning, and I look forward to hearing more. I love having you guys in because there's always something exciting and interesting happening at
College
of Vermont. See you soon. Thank you, too, for paying attention this morning, for listening to Open Mic. I'm Hester Fuller. I'm here every Monday from 9 until 11 o'clock. We've got news coming up at the top of the hour, followed by Bill Sayre and his Common Sense Radio program, talking today about the tax burden in Vermont. You are listening to WDEV News Radio, AM 550, coming out of Waterbury. Also at 96.1 FM, broadcasting from Warren. 96.5 FM, broadcasting from Barrie. Hi, Jack Donovan. And, blanketing the kingdom from Island Pond.
The Open Mic Podcast is brought to you by Hickok Boardman, Dennis Ricker, and Brown.
Find us online at hbinsurance.com. And you're always welcome to visit us on Facebook, in Vermont, online, on the phone. Hickok and Boardman Insurance Group. We are here when you need us.